thank Bob. I appreciate the opportunity to come visit with y'all. I will probably have to tell you right now, this is probably the least technical talk you're probably going to hear in this whole deal, because there's no snips, there's no nothing like that, there's no formulas, and so this is pretty down to earth basic stuff. And we have done what we affectionately call our sale barn survey. We started in 2000. We've done it in 2005, and we're currently doing it again in 2010. And so, I mean, there's two of us. There's myself and Tom Troxell, which we both kind of, he started this before I came to Arkansas, plus he's my boss, so I put him on the spot anyway. But we have, you know, the main people that are collected today are our sale barn market news reporters. And in Arkansas, those personnel are actually extension employees. So Dr. Troxell is their boss, and so hence why we can collect some of this data pretty easily. But just a little bit about the state. You know, we're a very similar environment to what we have here in Missouri, what you see here. There's right at a little shy of a million head of beef cows in the state. So we're not as big in the cow numbers. You know, this whole C-shaped area here is pretty much farmland. It's all rice for the most part. So if you eat rice, more than likely it comes from Arkansas. But we do have a pretty good collection of cattle in the northwest and the southwest corner of the state. And so our objective was is to really kind of sit down and figure out, you know, why. We all know that there's variation in why some of these cattle sell the way they do, what price they bring. And so we sat down and we started collecting data off this. Like I said, we're doing it for our third year. And we're really trying to, the other thing we really want to look at is as price changes, do discounts or premiums for certain attributes for a calf, do they scale with that change? Demand is high, some of these premiums tend to go down because some of the discounts aren't as severe, or is it something that's fairly static? And so we conduct it from year round, from January 1st till December 31st of every year. We try to collect data on about 15 to 20% of every lot sold. So you can see here. In 2000, we collected data on 59, just short of 60,000 lots, which made up 81,000 head. 2005 is about 52,000 lots and about 105,000 head. And up to the end of last month, we had about 16,000 lots and about 36,000 head. When I started putting this information together, I planned on trying to include some of the 2010 data when I talked on this, but after I got to looking at it, I don't think we have enough to really. One, we haven't got our big rush of fall calves yet, and that's going to totally change a lot of the results that we see right now. So, pretty much everything I'm going to show you is just from 2000 and 2005, and we're kind of hoping that the 2010 is going to be an intermediate price year between the 2000 and 2005. We'll see how that holds out in the fall. The data we collected is pretty simple. Those livestock market news reporters wrote down they called the frame score and muscle score. They wrote down the calf color. They estimated breed type or calf breed. They wrote down the sale weight and the sale price. And one thing about Arkansas is it's a very old-fashioned livestock marketing system. Is we don't have any large regional sale barns in the state. So there are very small local type sale barns that typically sell calves one at a time. And so it may take a sale barn, they may not start selling calves till 2 o'clock in the afternoon. They may go till 2 o'clock in the morning selling 800 head of calves. You know, it's very, very, very old fashioned. So in the average selling price in 2000 in the state was basically $92.91 a hundredweight. In basically $118 hundredweight in 2005. And we kind of struggled once we collected the second year's data. How do we kind of report this? Because it's kind of unfair to report mean for 1 year and mean from another year because there's such a difference in the base market price. So what we did was we established what the average price was for that year, and we deviated every sales price that we had on our database off the average. So basically what our report is going to be plus or minus the average for that year. So you can think about it as a premium or a discount within that 1 year. Just so you can kind of see how our price structure works across the month of the year, it's pretty similar to what you would find anywhere across the United States. We get a pretty good rise in spring, and it kind of drop off, and it actually stays fairly flat in the fall. We don't get a big, huge drop off like some places in the fall does, but we definitely do see a pretty good rise early on in the spring. And that's just a bar overlaying the average for each of those 2 years. So what type of calves do we sell? One of the things that really kind of got after us our first year is we were selling 23% of the calves that we were selling in the state were intact bulls that had not been castrated yet. So we had 33% were steers, and the bulk of the rest of them were heifers. And we really kind of took this and used it as an educational moment and tried to push castration, and at least we're going to take credit for reducing it because it went down to 14% in 2005, which is probably 13.9% too many. But we do see from a price structure, there's typically a $10 to $11 spread between steers and heifers. That's pretty standard nationwide, and we see that in Arkansas. Steer calves over a bull calf is between $5 and $6 a hundredweight. Premium or discount depends on which side you're looking at. And so, you know, this is not necessarily a genetic component. This is a straight-up management issue about castrating your steer calves. Another just kind of management deal goes back to how these cattle are sold. The buyers that are sitting in these sale barns are older buyers. They're called older buyers because they're tasked on putting together a group of cattle based on what somebody asked them, what the orders are. And, you know, here we see 81% and basically 75% of the cattle are sold one at a time. And I still to this day cannot figure out why, you know, they're using that much labor and that much time to do this other than it's tradition. That's just the way we've always done things, and that's the way we're going to continue to do things. But we do see that there are significant price premiums if they'll go ahead and sort these groups in the lot. One thing we don't collect in this is how consistent that group was. Whether or not the producer just requested that all of his cattle be sold in a group or the sale barn took it upon themselves to sort them out, the consistency of that group isn't something that we reported, but you can see that there is a definite price structure premium for going ahead and selling lots of multiple animals. Even after seeing this, I still don't know why sale barns don't do this. Now we can get to something that can be a little controlled genetically. Horn status, whether they are horns or either were polled or had their horns removed at some point prior to weaning. Basically, the first year we did this, about 27-28% of the cattle we had came to the sale barn with horns. That was down to 13% in 2005. And there is a definite, you know, 2005 there was a $3 a hundredweight discount for just an animal having horns. And so, you know, on a 500-pound calf, that's $15 just for having horns. body condition is something that is more of a management factor, but going all the way from very fat to very thin, we don't have very many of the cattle that would have classified as fat or even fleshy. Most of our cattle are sold in the average body condition, and that's basically our average selling price. But the one strange thing that we kind of noticed in between 2000 and 2005 is very thin cattle were discounted pretty heavily in 2000, but they weren't really discounted. They were actually sold for a little bit more in 2005, and then you kind of have this little strange deal there of why there's a difference between thin and very thin cattle, and to this day I still don't really know why, what the cause of that was and why that showed up like that. But well, it was it was a pretty dry year. That was one of the years that I'm not going to say we were in a bad drought, but it was dry, and I'm sure that we had less than adequate forage production. One thing we definitely, and this may come down to a genetic factor, is some of our really high milking cows raise those really fat calves, even though they're not creek fed, and even though they look really nice, those producers really like them. They just don't do very well when they go to the sale barn. Those older buyers don't want to buy those fat calves. They know the first thing that's going to happen is those calves are going to lose a lot of weight between wherever they're buying them and wherever they're going, and that's going to be something that they're going to have to figure out a way to recoup that cost. And one way they do it is they just pay a whole lot less for them. So the shrink factor on those fat calves is pretty significant. Same for body fill. Calves that come in that look like they drank 80 gallons of water before they came into the ring are discounted pretty hard. So really thin calves typically are looked upon as something that could have compensatory gain built into them. It's something that might go right on the feed and gain all right. So they typically sell for or a little bit better than average. Calf health, I debated on whether to take these out. We don't have very many calves that are sold that have any health problems. We do have what would be called stale calves, or ones that maybe were in the sale barn 1 week, somebody flips them to a sale barn the next week, and they may get flipped to another sale barn the week after that, and they'll start looking stale. You know, 98%, basically 98% of our calves are healthy. It's pretty obvious that anything that's lame or that's crippled is not going to receive anything close to a normal price. Just put this in here to give you an idea of the size of calf that we typically sell. We do have a few calves that are coming in here less than 300 pounds, but not very many. You know, the bulk of our calves are between the 400 and 550 pound range. We do have some that, you know, we probably do have a few yearlings that are carried out into here. Arkansas does have a pretty decent sized stocker population in the state, and so some of these are probably ones that are getting, for some reason or another, loaded off that didn't go out with the main group. Now coming into some things that are a little more genetically controlled is USDA frame size. And one thing that it's very seldom that we see any small frame cattle, I don't know, anywhere in the United States anymore. A large frame steer is something that's going to finish at 1,300 pounds. If you follow the market news reports about the size of cattle that we're killing 1,350 is pretty standard all the time. It's almost all the cattle we produce are going to be large frames, and there's anything that is considered large frame does make a little premium. It's not a big one. you know, last time we did this, small and medium frame, the premium for that is about the same, and it really wasn't a premium. It was just something that you didn't want to get caught with a small frame calf, because that was a pretty significant discount. Probably the one thing that our producers can definitely work towards is controlling muscle sport, and that is something that is probably, along with some other management characteristics, from a genetic standpoint, is something that I work with them on quite a bit, is trying to make sure that we're producing muscle sport ones and twos as much as possible. And for the most part, we do that a pretty good job. I manage our steer feed out program, and I definitely don't see 75-76% of the cattle that are coming into our steer feed out program is muscle sport one. I'm looking at about 60% muscle sport twos, and I don't know if that's just a population difference of people that are wanting to put cattle in the feed yard versus selling at the sale barn, but I know that's something that we can still work on, is increasing the muscling of the calves that we produce. If we look here, it's $3 premium for a muscle sport one, but everything else was a discount. So unless you were a muscle sport one, you actually received a discount for everything else that was sold, and you definitely didn't want to be down here in a 3 and a 4. And now it's when it starts getting interesting. A lot of times when myself or somebody else kind of presents this data around the state, we tend to ruffle somebody's feathers. Not very many people get as mad about calf colors when we get to the next slide talking about some of the breeds and breed types. But these are the calf colors that we report on. We've got yellow white face calves. And we produced about 6% of those, 4% last time. There's about a $3 hundredweight premium for those in 2005. This chart is sorted by the 2005 premium list. Yellow calves, here's our black baldies, quite a few black baldies. Our most numerous hide color was a black calf. Gray calves, basically about even, all the way down to something this is our catch-all group of spots, stripes, roans, anything that wasn't a solid color for the most part. This is one that rubs a lot of people wrong. Because really, if it's a Simmental calf that's got some spots on them, or if it's a Beastmaster calf that's got some spots on them, is there any difference in a one that's got a solid red hide or a solid black hide? No. But for some reason, those order buyers just do not like to bid on cattle that are colored up for some reason. They'll take a blaze face maybe, but if they start getting any color up on the sides, they just don't want them. So now we get into some breed types, and I've got these charts ordered, these kind of broken up into slides. That the first one is stuff that increased in price between 2000 and 2005. Next one are ones that basically were statistically, they weren't different from 2005, and the last ones went the other way. First up here, we've got our Angus Hereford crosses. Basically went from $2.13 premium to just short of $4 premium. Higher percentage Angus calves went from basically 45 cents to 371, so that was our big gainer. An Angus Charlet went from basically 30 cents discount to a $2.24 premium. We did have some that showed up that they increased in price, but they're still discounted. Straight Brahman cattle, we don't sell a lot of straight Brahman cattle, but they're still pretty heavily discounted. Even though we have a lot of feared cattle in the state, that they still, feared cattle, especially high percentage Brahman, still will get a pretty significant discount. Then we have a Hereford Brahman Angus. It's area, it could have been a Brangus cross with the Hereford. Showed a little bit of premium, not very much. One thing you'll see in this is I do have a couple of catch-all categories. I've got one that says half Brahmin. It was obviously half Brahmin, but they couldn't figure out what else was with it. So we've got a few of those kind of catch-all categories. But some of those Hereford Charolais, they basically remain the same. Brangus basically was right at average. Angus Limousine, they both receive a premium both years, but didn't really change too much. And you can see the remainder of the table. Hereford's, for some reason, still takes a pretty decent discount in the state. I can't explain it. I don't know why, but they do. In cattle, that went the other way. Charley cattle were one that they decreased in frequency as well as sales price. Limousine Brahmin cross went from basically breaking even to a 250-cent discount. A lot of limousine influenced cattle showed up in this chart here about losing some ground in price. Simmental, Salier. We don't sell very many longhorns either, but they're definitely not very popular to the order buyers. So some of those are pretty significant discounts now. So, you know, one thing that we've really tried to encourage our producers to do is to work with your sale barn staff and really requesting. Go ahead and separate the cattle out that you want sold in groups. If you can at least just put four or five together. I didn't show the data, but the price benefit peaks about 35, 40 head of cattle. Once you hit that many cattle in a group or a lot, there's really no premium after that, and it actually kind of starts tapering off a little bit. So if they could sell groups of up to 35, 40 head, they would be advantageous. Some of the genetic factors that the producers can really control is the color of the calf, the breeds that they're choosing to use as sires and dams as well. But also, really just making sure that the bulls that they buy are ones that can produce heavy muscle calves. They're going to be medium to large frame. Those are the breeds there that were definitely selling favorably in 2005. It'll be interesting to see what 2010 holds and see if that trend holds true. But from a selection standpoint, there's pretty two easy choices. There's whole bulls definitely will help in the horn category, and heavy muscle bulls that are going to produce heavier muscle calves. A lot of people ask about the breeds and breed types, and really I don't anticipate people really using this data to say, well, I want to produce flat quality calves because they sold for a premium. I usually work with people and say, it's not about what the price you're getting here, it's about why are you choosing. You may have a good reason to produce a longhorn calf. But soon somebody could probably lay out a good reason why you'd want to produce a longhorn calf. And if that reason is fits into your business plan and that's what you want to do and you're prepared, if you're okay with what some of the positives and negatives of producing that calf are, then that's fine. But a lot of times some people produce, there are a need for certain areas of Arkansas, especially once you get to the southern section, to have some indicus influence in those cow herds. It is an advantage to those cow herds from a maternal production standpoint. Well, yes, you can probably optimize that percentage to help with the discount that you see with that. but the benefit you'll get from that will probably outweigh any discounts you might suitably take at the sale barn. Or secondary, consider someplace else to go besides the sale barn. One thing I didn't really say up front, I meant to, is the average herd size in Arkansas is 38 head. And so, you know, there's really no difference in the nationwide herd size average. But it does present some problems when you're trying to market small gates to cattle, but that's why most of them are still going to go to their local sale barn. We sell about 30% of our cattle out of state. To go to probably Joplin and Oklahoma City would be the two popular places for those cattle to go to. And that is a growing trend. More and more cattle are being sold out of state. I think largely because of some of the ways that the sale barns are managed. You know, one thing that doesn't really show up in this is having season management. You know, I know this isn't a selection deal, but probably about a good 6% of Arkansas producers have zero defined cattle season. They pretty much leave the bull out there all the time. They look at it like a savings account. You know, when the washing machine breaks, you go out there and you drag something out of the pasture and you take it to the barn and you go to Sears and buy a new one. So they look at it like a savings account. When they need to make a withdrawal, they can go out to the pasture and it's convenient. There's calves born all the time, that means there's probably something pretty close ready to go to the sale barn. So you take them to the sale barn on Tuesday, Wednesday you can get a new washing dryer, whatever. And so that is probably our biggest challenge, is that right there. And I know that that's a problem in quite a few southern states, is the calving season management problem. We're not like some environments that the weather really pushes you away from calving in certain times of the year. We've got people that don't want to calve in January because they think it's too cold, but they really don't know what cold is. But anyway, I told you that was going to be pretty low tech, but I'll take any questions if anybody has any. Basically, the prices that we reported were actually, I know that's out there, but they're actually on least square means that we adjusted for months of sale and sale weight. So they're adjusted for weight in those the prices that we reported. One thing that I didn't put in there is if you take a look at sale weight and the premiums of the premiums that you see or the discounts that you see tend to go away as the heavier those calves get. So a really young calf, they depend a lot on what he looks like, what color he is, what breed type he looks like. And then as that calf gets older, they rely less on the outward appearance, and then they can, you know, more look at the calf and judge his thriftiness and things along that line. So I left that slide out about the premium, you know, kind of narrows as the weight increases. We did not include any special preconditions. Fairly a small amount, and one of that is most of the sale barns refuse to have a special sale for that. Now, there are a few that, and we threw them out for data analysis, that they announce when they're sold that these cattle have all their shots. Well, you know, there's no verification to that, and so we did analyze them and brought about $1.20 more than, but for everything else, we threw out all those that were announced like that out of the analysis. This year, we are trying to do a better job of collecting some of the preconditioned sales, and so that'll probably be lumped in. We'll be included in this year's stuff. For a lot of people in Arkansas, preconditioned is you gave them a black leg shot. Some point in life, and that's it. Yes. Well, there's been a lot of producers that have tried it, and they just didn't get the money they thought they should have gotten for it. And so it kind of works both ways. There are producers out there that just do not want to invest the time nor the effort nor the money to do it. They just don't see a benefit of it. That's probably the most common thing that we get is, I don't want to get my calves up and give them a shot and keep them for 45 days. And then, you know, I got to spend all this money on feed. But, you know, another part of it is you know, our sale barn operators haven't been very helpful in the fact of trying to push this and say, I've got this sale, I'm going to make you some more money if you do this to your calves. They've typically been kind of forced into doing it if enough people say they want to do it. So I think it's a little bit of both. Yes, please. Like a small frame steer is 1,000 pounds, I think. If I remember correctly. I think a medium frame is 1,100. We need to knock about 100 pounds off that for heifer. No, because there is no sale in the state of Arkansas. That, even though we have a state-sponsored sourcing age verification program, we don't have a sale barn that will sell them. So those cattle are all going out of state. Most of them are buying for either feed yards or stocker operators. And some of our order buyers are stocker operators, so they're buying cattle for themselves. You know, that's probably 30% of them maybe that are buying cattle for their own use. So the majority of those are buying for stocker operators other than themselves or feed yards. Off the top of my head, we're about 700,000 calves, roughly. I'm just going off by what I know our beef checks off budgets are. So. There are, not all of our livestock markets actually have a livestock market reporter assigned to them. So there are about 17 or 18 operating barn in the state. And not all those are reported. There's probably about 13, 14 barns that are reported. It varies by barn. Some of the barns only sell 400 head a week. Others of them are selling a couple thousand. We've got about three barns in the state that are higher volume barns. Sometimes they'll sell more foal cows than they will calves in some of those smaller barns. No, they still pretty much sell them one at a time. Even the bigger barns are still selling them one at a time. No, most of our barns probably don't have the facilities in the back to handle co-mingling. They just don't have the pen space to do all the cuts that you would need to do a co-mingle type sale. We've done some other stuff for the data. We've looked at locations, you know, distance to maybe Oklahoma City or distance certain things and location of the state. It really didn't have that bad big of influence. Now, there is a difference between barns. Certain barns typically always sell higher than other barns, and that's largely based on volume and the number of buyers that are participating in those sales. But time of day, I don't think we ever really looked at time of day of what time of day of when the calf sold or time of day when they started sale. We didn't look at either. Problem.